Good morning and welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider for Clutch Points, and today on the show we're going to be talking about a nice, comfortable win over the San Antonio Spurs, who granted were also short-handed, but I want to just try to contextualize the difference in margin for error the Lakers are dealing with right now. Quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button here if you guys are checking into this podcast for the first time right now. And then if you guys have, enjoyed the podcast at this point, hit that 5-star review button. And then, tell your friends about the show. Like I said, we're going to be talking about the Lakers beating the Spurs last night. And we will be going into some of the details of that game. But most importantly, and this is where we're going to spend the vast majority of this episode, I want to talk about, how those details came to be and just kind of present how this game may have looked pre-Luka Doncic trade. Let's get into the details of it first. The Lakers beat the San Antonio Spurs 125-109. Dorian Finney-Smith got back on track. He knocked down 4 of his 8 three-point shot attempts. Jordan Goodwin started in this one, which I found notable as Gabe Vincent moved back to the bench. I think they are preparing him to go back to his kind of bench role with Rui, I think, right around the corner. The Lakers also got decent production from Dalton Knecht, who has been playing better lately. Jared Vanderbilt got thrown out of the game after only 15 minutes of playing. The best player, I would say, on the court in this one in terms of production was Austin, who scored 30 points on 12 of 21 from the field, 5 of 13 from three-point range. Luka did go 10 of 13 from the free throw line, so he was plenty aggressive. But overall, though, the Lakers playing this one without Rui, playing this one without LeBron, playing against a, hungry-ish and obviously shorthanded Spurs team. I want to talk a little bit about how this game may have looked before the Lakers went out and acquired a top three player, probably top two player in the NBA. So I started to notice while the Lakers were on their four-game skid, this whole kind of, well, maybe the Mavs were right. What do you think? Ooh, are you sure that the Lakers really swindled I'm starting to sound like Chris Collinsworth, but it's like, are you sure? Did the Lakers actually get the better value there? Anthony Davis was playing pretty good. Here's the thing. If the Lakers were to play against even an extremely shorthanded team in the way that they did against the San Antonio Spurs last night, who were playing without Victor Wembanyama, who were playing without De'Aaron Fox, and have been playing this entire season without Greg Popovich, even given those circumstances, the Lakers would have probably found themselves in a dogfight late. If LeBron didn't play in the game and Anthony Davis shot 5 of 20 from the field in the way that Luka Doncic did last night. But the thing is, Luka also racked up 14 assists. And, that is at least 28 points, probably more depending on the three-point shooting that the Lakers had in that game. They shot 19 of 48 from three-point range. That is good for 39.5%-ish from the field. That is a team that statistically profiles as a team that can beat just about anybody under almost any circumstances. Now, you would prefer for Luka to shoot better from the field. 5 of 20 from the field isn't great, but then you also get Austin going 12 of 21 from the field. Jordan Goodwin goes 6 of 9 for a nice field goal percentage. He goes 3 of 6 from three-point range. And yeah, it's a team that I think is playing with a lot more confidence than they were before the Luka trade. Luka comes over here, and I think, you know, he just kind of lifts the floor of the team's productivity, especially offensively. He didn't shoot very well in this one, didn't shoot well at all by his standards in this one. But 14 assists for him means that everybody else remains involved and in a good rhythm. And the Lakers are able to win this one going away. Now, the Lakers did let that lead kind of trickle down over the course of the second half, which, you know, does sometimes happen against shorthanded teams. But at the end of the day, like, if you would have told me going into the season that the Lakers, in a game that LeBron James didn't play in at all, and in which the best player available in you know, after LeBron, with him not playing, would go 5 of 20 from the field, I'd be like, did they win? Like, are you sure? Just tell me they won. Who they play? The Spurs? Wemby didn't play? Oh, okay. Wait, De'Aaron Fox is a Spur? That's weird. He also didn't play? Oh, so they should tell me that. Tell me they didn't screw up the game against the Spurs without Wemby and without De'Aaron Fox. No, they didn't. They didn't screw up that game against the Spurs without Wemby, without De'Aaron Fox. And given that they didn't have LeBron James and didn't have Luka playing up to the level that he needs to, and the Lakers were able to win this one anyway. And I just think, you know, that to me is my biggest note after recording the immediate post game. As I've been editing it and as I've been kind of taking a look at Twitter over the course of my editing of that podcast, it's like, damn, that's kind of crazy that they, no LeBron, Luka didn't play that well. This was a pretty comfortable win. The other part of this game that I think is worth noting, and I want to go back and watch it, you know, just to make sure I saw what I thought I saw, but it really does appear that Luka and Austin are really starting to develop chemistry, and I was never all that worried about the chemistry that Luka and LeBron would figure out. LeBron, like, he figured out how to get the Cavs to the postseason or to the finals really early in his career. And then he figured out how to play with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And then he figured out how to play when he went back to Cleveland with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. And then he gets here to L.A. and, you know, the Lakers were playing good basketball before he tore his groin in that Christmas Day game. So he's kind of figuring out how to play with Lonzo Ball and that really young core. And then the Lakers trade that young core for Anthony Davis, and they figure out how to play together. He and LeBron do to the tune of a championship. And I thought their chemistry basically since then has been fine, even though the rest roster around them has been pretty piss poor. Then the Lakers trade Anthony Davis for Luka Doncic, and one of the more kind of annoying takes that was out there, I saw Charles Barkley had it, I saw Sam Amick have it, Amick at least apologized for having it, was like, man, I don't know, are Luka Doncic and LeBron James going to be able to figure out how to play the basketball together? And it was like, everybody who has ever played basketball was like, yeah. Yeah, I think two of the most brilliant minds who have ever played basketball together will somehow be able to crack the code on how to play together. And eventually they did. And then obviously LeBron gets hurt. My bigger concern there was like, all right, where does Austin actually fit into that offense? And with LeBron being out, and hopefully he's able to return here fairly soon, but with LeBron being out, the one silver lining has been that Austin and Luka have had to figure their shit out together. And over the last, you know, few games here or so, I think we're starting to see them turn that corner together. And Austin talked about how Luka just always makes the right play, and how he has to be ready for Luka always making the right play. That has allowed Austin kind of to figure out his places in the offense or his places in this ecosystem to offer up his production. And I thought tonight Luka didn't play all that well, but the Lakers won this one comfortably because Austin was able to very comfortably utilize his own production to subsidize Luka not necessarily having it tonight. So I think with Austin and Luka figuring it out, LeBron is eventually going to step back into the rotation, and I have no doubts whatsoever that that LeBron will be able to kind of figure out how to fit back into an offense with Luka and Austin now clicking at the level that they have been over the last few games. All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown podcast. Make sure you guys check out the Lounge episode. Slightly shorter show. I'm going to figure out, build that plane on the fly of what post-game shows are going to look and sound like now that Raj is probably off of those shows. Again, really happy for Raj, and he is still going to be involved here with the Lounge. We just have to figure out, the post-game shows are kind of our tentpole event here for this channel. So we're going to have to figure out what that's going to look like, and I'm going to build that plane on the fly. Harrison is still going to be involved. Raj is going to still be involved. And then we're going to figure out, the post-game aspect of this as well. So stick around with us, and we'll, figure out that offensive flow in the same way that Luka and Austin have figured out their flow together. And then we'll squeeze in whichever fun guests that we need to over the course of the rest of the season. But that's just me rambling and thinking about this stuff out loud. So until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. I'll talk to you probably here in a little bit. Have a good one, everybody.